Peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for consideration this morning is taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which he has lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing it. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth." Amen. You may be seated. I don't usually dumpster dive. In fact, I may look down on people who do dumpster dive, but there have been a few exceptions in my life. When I was about 9 or 10, my brother and my cousin had learned how to play guitar, and I had this cheap CB percussion drum set that barely had the basics, if you could say that. It had a kick drum, snare drum, hi-hat, and a tenor, but it didn't have any cymbals. My cousin knew that I was looking to add to my set, and someone had thrown out this old 16-inch crash cymbal. So he reached in the garbage, pulled that thing out, and brought it to our next practice session. It was so beat up that it was practically inverted. So we took it and reverted it, threw it on a stand, and away we went. Now, most people would have looked at that old beat up crash cymbal as if it was complete garbage, not worth anything at all. But we could see a future for it, so we rescued it and restored it as best we could. The scribes and the Pharisees in our text are looking at the tax collectors and sinners as if they are complete garbage, not worth anything at all. And Jesus comes along, and he's willing to eat with them. He receives them. He even is staying at their houses in some instances. Jesus is among his lost sheep. He is there to rescue and restore the lost, including the sinners and the tax collectors. Now, tax collectors are interesting in the New Testament. I know none of us really like paying taxes, but we don't usually look at our tax accountants as if they're like the lowest rung of society. But in the New Testament, they did, especially from the Pharisees' perspective. And it's understandable. There was a lot of room for price gouging. They could line their pockets easily. But also, it was who they were raising money for that bugged them. The Roman authorities just recently came into power. It was 60 years before Christ that Pompey, the Roman general, took Jerusalem. 37 years before Christ, the Roman Senate handpicked Herod the Great to be the king of the Jews. And these people were raising money for that foreign government. So you can maybe imagine a foreign government takes over, not just a foreign one, but a pagan one, and people are leaving the faith to raise money for that pagan cause. So the Pharisees are looking at them as complete unbelievers and not worthy of anything. Jesus is pointing out the sin of the scribes and Pharisees is one of pride. They think they're better than all of these people. And it's one of lack of forgiveness. So I want to ask you, is there anyone that you look down on? Is there anyone that you view as complete garbage and worth nothing? And maybe these are true sinners, people who have left the faith, who have got caught in sins of addiction, maybe alcoholism or drug addiction. Maybe it's people who have gotten wound up in sexual sins like homosexuality or transgenderism. Do we look at those people as if they are complete garbage and worth nothing? Or do we see them as Jesus views them, lost sheep in need of rescuing. Jesus would go on to die for these tax collectors and sinners. He would go on to die for the Pharisees and the scribes. He would go on to die for the sins of all mankind. So he has objectively justified every single person in the world. Now, that means the worst of sinners. Now, they may very well be rejecting this free gift of forgiveness in their unbelief. And their sinful living is evidence to that fact. That may very well be the case. But there still is hope for them if they repent. We aren't Calvinists. We don't think that you're once damned, always damned. There is still hope of repentance if they are brought the law and they see their sin and they are shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving message of Christ. This parable comes as a group of three parables that Jesus tells to the Pharisees. The first one is this one, the parable of the lost sheep. Then there comes the parable of the lost coin. And then he tells the parable of the prodigal son. All three of these parables have talk about repentance. Jesus doesn't just eat with sinners and speak with them and give them a stamp of approval and say, you guys are all right. No. He actually deals with their sin. He calls them to repentance. He says, go and sin no more. He says, come and follow me. And he pays the debt of their sin so that there is real forgiveness. It's a real solution to the problem. Likewise, he doesn't just leave you in the thorns of your sin either. He doesn't just accept you as you are, but he calls you. He rescues you and restores you. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit bringing faith, working faith in your heart, working faith through your baptism, making you one of Jesus' sheep. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the divine Son of God, came into this world on a search and rescue mission to find his lost sheep, to find you among your thorns that we wandered into. And he doesn't leave us there. He rolls up his sleeves. He pulls those thorns off of us one by one, placing them on his head. All the consequences of our sin he placed on himself and paid the penalty for our sin. This is how much he loves us. The shepherd is willing to die for his sheep to rescue them, to rescue and restore the lost. And so we live in that forgiveness. This forgiveness is yours through the word of God. Forgiveness is still on the table because Jesus has put it there. He set a table before you in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of sin, in the presence of our own sinful flesh, the world, and Satan. And we feast on him. He lovingly and joyfully picks us up, places us on his shoulder, and takes us into his fold, where he will keep us and guard us. So forgiveness is still on the table. And now that we live in this forgiveness, and the goal of the sanctified life is to love our neighbor as Christ loved us. Now, we don't do that perfectly in this life. We will fall and fail and need to repent. But the goal of the sanctified life is to love your neighbor as Christ loved you. So when you see your brother or sister who are caught in a sin, you don't just leave them there in the garbage heap of history. You go to them, lovingly correct them. Don't engage in the sins that they are engaging with. That's not what Jesus did. Lovingly correct them, share them the gospel, and welcome them back into the fold, into the flock, where forgiveness is still on the table. Jesus has put it there, and he's anointed our heads with oil. He's given us this cup that runs over with the blessings that he has won for us, victory that he has won for us, forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. And so we can say with David, the psalmist, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.